Be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Never squeeze a parable too tightly. Don't press a metaphor too hard. It's a bit like the story of Little Red Riding Hood. It doesn't do to ask too many questions. Off she goes to take a food parcel to her self-isolating grandmother in the woods. Wait a moment. There's at least one wolf in the woods. What are Little Red Riding Hood's parents thinking of? Do they just let their daughter go off on her own into wolf-infested woods? Do social services know about this? And so on. It's the same with the metaphor of the Good Shepherd. What's a flock of sheep for? Well, in the first instance, they're there to be sheared or fleeced. And in the end, they're there to be killed and roasted. Every shepherd serves a non-vegetarian agenda. That doesn't rule out a parallel agenda of genuine care and affection. There's a wonderful memoir by the Scottish poet Edwin Muir of his childhood in the Orkneys, where he describes exactly this, how they could both deeply and genuinely love the animals on their croft, and at the same time know exactly why they were raising them. Then there are the sheep themselves. Silly, woolly little creatures with no minds of their own, not too clever, always setting off in the wrong direction. Is that how Jesus sees us? Surely not. Is it perhaps how we should see ourselves? Well, certainly a bit, but don't squeeze a parable too tightly. Well, with that precautionary note in mind, we can go on to explore the morning's gospel, where there are actually two parables tightly woven together. And I'll try to separate out the threads a little. In the first of the parables, Jesus is the shepherd, and he suggests two things about himself as shepherd. One is that he's legitimate. He's a rightful shepherd. He has authority to come into the sheepfold through the front door, and the doorkeeper will open the gate for him. He's not like the sheep rustlers who climb over the wall at the back to steal. Now, this inevitably begs the question, did Jesus have particular people in mind when he talked about these thieves and bandits who came before him? Perhaps he meant the scribes and the Pharisees, or the powerful people who ran the temple in Jerusalem. If so, clergy and church wardens and all those who have responsibility for the running of the church as an institution need to sit up and take note. Are we here so that the flock may have life and have it abundantly and find good pasture outside the sheepfold? Are we really focused on keeping the sheepfold on good order and the sheep carefully penned within it? Are we focused on the flourishing and prestige of the institution? The good shepherd comes through the front gate, but he comes to take the sheep out, to take them out to good pasture. The second point that Jesus is making about himself as shepherd is that he knows his sheep and that his sheep know him. They follow him because they know his voice. You have to remember that this is probably a shared sheepfold. Instead of every family or household having its own security arrangements to keep a few sheep safe at night from thieves and predators, it's much more sensible to set up a shared enterprise, a community sheepfold, which only needs one gatekeeper to guard it. So when the shepherds arrive in the morning, there has to be a certain disentangling of the various flocks that have spent the night there together. Jesus's sheep follow him out of the security of the sheepfold into the wide world where they will feed and pasture. And they have no difficulty in grouping themselves together as a flock because he knows them and they know him. He knows them. He knows us. He knows us intimately and individually. As God says in Isaiah, "Fear not, I have called you by name."